And we're holding on to Samach Zayin Amud Bey's five lines from the bottom by the two dots. The Mishnah had said, Ein ha-goinav achar ha-ganav mishalam tashlum ha-kefil. You have a case where Reuven stole something, and then Shimon stole that same thing from him. So we say Shimon does not pay Reuven the tashlum ha-kefil, because, like we said, like we learned in the Mishnah, the idea is, because the pasuk says, v'gunav mibesa ish, the thing was stolen from the person's house, and that means as opposed to from the ganav's house, because otherwise it didn't have the same basic ish at all. So therefore we learn from that that only in that case, that in that case there's no tashlum kefil. But the Gemara says, Omar Rav lo shonu elo lifnei yush. That would only apply if the second ganav stole it before the original owner had yush of it. Abel acho yush, but if it was after yush, then Rav says, Knoi Ganav Rishon, then at that point the first Ganav has already acquired it, as we've talked about in the previous sugya about what kind of things are needed for the Ganav to acquire something. So now it's his. The Ganav Sheni, Mishalim Tashlum Kefil, the Ganav Rishon. Therefore, indeed, the second Ganav is going to have to pay Tashlum Kefil to the first first Ganav, because now he's the owner of it. He himself owes Tashlume Kefil to the original owner, but now the second Ganav owes him Tashlume Kefil as well. However, the Gemara says, Omer of Sheshes, Amina, I would say, as we've had the expression before, Kinayim b'shochiv Rav, Omer l'hoshmaita. Rav must have said this when he was about to fall asleep, which, as we've learned before, Rabbi Chavis Yor says on that he means it's a respectful way of disagreeing with Rav and saying this is so illogical that Rav could not possibly have said this if he was completely coherent. It must be completely lucid. It must be that he was about to fall asleep, and only then would he have been able to say such a thing. Because he's going to point out a seeming contradiction from a braisa. Tosfos points out that we had Rabba saying a couple of days ago the point that Yush is koina, and the Gemara could have asked exactly the same questions on him. The Gemara is going to bring from a braisa, the Gemara could have asked there on him, on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, and vice versa, the questions that the Gemara asked on him over there, it could have asked over here on Rav. So Tosfos says, first of all, one difference is, Rabba was speaking of a gazlan, Rav is speaking of a ganav, which we know, they're two different things, because a gazlan, a gazlan forcibly takes the thing, a ganav takes it stealthily. So in each one, the Gemara is bringing questions that have to do with that. Rabba, who spoke about a gazlan, then the Gemara asks from places where it speaks about a gazlan. Rabba, who spoke about a ganav, then the Gemara is going to bring sources that talk about a ganav. There may not be a necessary reason to distinguish between them. There's no particular reason to say that you should be coined by one and not the other, but nevertheless, that's how it is. Also, Tosfos says, another possibility, similar to what we learned yesterday in connection with something of Rav Chista, is the Gemara is bringing by each one as it was discussed in the Beis Medrash. When Rabba brought up his point, they asked from those things there that we had on Daf Samach Vav about him. And similarly, now, when in an earlier generation, when Rabba brought up his din, then they asked these particular ones that were here in the Gemara. And therefore, when Ravina and Ravashi arranged the Gemara, they left things as they were. Anyway, so Rav Sheshes says it can't possibly be that Rav would say such a thing because it contradicts the Braisa, the Tanya, Omer Rav Akiva, Mipnei Ma Omer Torah Tova Chomocha Mishalom Tashlumei Abav Chamisha. Why does the Torah say that when a person stole or stole the animal, he pays Tashlumei Abav Chamisha? So Rav Akiva says Mipnei Mishtarish Bechet, because he was rooted in the Aveda. Now, we have to figure out what we mean by rooted in the Aveira. Right now, the Gemara is going to assume that it means that he did something where before what he had done, before the Tericho Mechira, the thing didn't fully belong to him. Now he actually caused a change in the halachic status of the thing where now it becomes his. That's what the Gemara is assuming right now, that Shinishtarish Bechet means. So, Amos. So we have to be talking about when, we have to ask, when is Rabbi Akiva talking about that the tvichom, that the shechting or the selling should cause it to change ownership? Ilema lifne yush, are you talking about before the owner had yush of it? Why? Mi'ika nishtarish? How, what nishtarish is there? His like this, when he only shechted it, or he only sold it, that surely is not enough to make it that now the actual animal, or the, now the, or in the case of shchita, the dead body of the animal should be considered his. For sure, everybody agrees that you need, even if you're going to have shinu reshus over here, you transfer it to somebody else's reshus by selling it to him, there's no yush, then that still doesn't help. Elalacha yush. So Rav Shesha says, of necessity, Rabbi Akiva must be talking about after yush. And then he's saying that now, it's called a hanu maisa, now what he did had an effect, because now it transfers ownership. But if you're going to tell me that yush by itself is enough to be koina, then amai mashalim tashlum abav chamisha. Then by that logic, why is he paying tashlum abav chamisha? Shaloi hu teveach, shaloi hu moicher. Isn't he shechting or selling something that belongs to him? So Rav Sheshes is saying, if you say not like Rav and you say yush by itself is not enough to be koina, well then it's easy to understand. There's yush over here. Nevertheless, he's not fully koinet. Once there's yush and there's shinui maisa or shinui reshus by shechting it or selling it, now that animal is never going to have to be given back to the original owner, because now there's been a shinui in it that acquires it for the ganav or for the person that the ganav sold it to, and therefore we're saying that in the shtarish bechet, that now by doing the tvicho mechira, he did something that hadn't been accomplished before to transfer the ownership of it, and therefore the Torah penalizes him with four or five times as much. But if you, Rav, are telling us that yush alone is enough, then one way or the other, either the braisa is talking about before yush, and obviously no transfer of ownership has been done by just shinui maisa or shinui reshus, or you're going to say there was only yush, and at that point, then when he shechts or sells, then there, how could there be tashlumi abba v'chamisha when it's his own animal at that point? Therefore, if Shesha says, I can't accept that Rav said such a thing. So the Gemara answers, Kidda Omar Amri, so they answer back, Kidda Omar Rava, as Rava himself says, further down at the Omur, that Rava explains, what does it mean when Rabbi Akiva says, Mepneshin Ishtarish Bechet, he doesn't mean that he actually caused a legal change in the status of the thing. We just mean Mepneshin Shana Bechet, because he repeated the Aveira, he compounded the Aveira by doing something, by not only by stealing, but now by making a further change in it as far as shechting or selling. So Hachanami Mepneshin Shana Bechet, we can answer the same thing over here. So we're not talking about that. So we're talking about that in fact it was before Yush. So it's true that his Tvicho Mechira doesn't actually cause a legal change in it. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva is saying the Torah is holding him responsible because he compounded his Aveira by doing Tvicho Mechira instead of, which is bad enough, where stealing was bad enough, and now he did, and now on top of it he did that. By the way, the Shita Mokobetas points out the context where the Gemara is going to bring that statement of Rava later is actually going to be on this very same Braisa. But there, what you have is Rava is only saying it in order to later on the Omud, Rav Sheshes is going to try to bring the same Braisa to prove a point of his, and Rava is going to use the same argument to deflect it. So therefore, that's why the Gemara uses the expression Kida Omar Rava, as Rava said, rather than just saying Ha Omar Rava or something like that. In other words, the Gemara is treating it as though it was something completely in a completely different context that Rava said that, because he said it talked in a different context, not as an independent explanation of the Braisa, but only in order to try to slug up Rav Sheshes, or in order to prove, in order to say that the Braisa doesn't necessarily support what Rav Sheshes is saying. So no proof necessarily from this Braisa against Rav, because the Braisa doesn't necessarily mean that by doing Tvicho Mechira, he's actually caused a change in the status of the object, but just the fact that he has repeated and he's compounded his Aveira by shechting or selling on top of the original stealing. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof against Lav. A Braisa says, when it says in the Pasuk, Utvachai or Mechorai, the Pasuk says he shechts it or he sells it. That means we're making a hekesh between Tvicha and Mechira. Mat Tvicha, She'ena Chazeres. Just like once the animal is shechted, that can't be undone. Ach Mechira, She'ena Chazeres. The same way the sale has to be something which is irrevocable. So what does that mean? Again, Amos, what are we talking about that these things took place? Ilema lifnei Yush, are you talking about that he sold it before the owner even ever had Yush? So now, at this point, the Gemara is assuming she'ena chazeres means that we're talking about that when is he chayev to pay the tashlama abal chamisha, when it was the kind of irrevocable sale where the lekeach has now owns it permanently. So if that was before Yush, amai ena chazeres, why wouldn't it return? After all, it's not a valid sale in the first place because it doesn't belong to the ganav. It's not his to sell. Ela la'achar yush. Evidently, we have to be talking about la'achar yush. V'isakgad kanye. And again, if you're going to tell me if according to Rav he's koneh it with only yush, amai mashalom abav chamisha. Same question. Why is he rather amai mashalom dalav v'hei? Why is he paying 4 or 5? Shaloyer teveyach shaloy humoicher. Same thing as we said before. Isn't he shechting or selling his own animal? So wouldn't that prove, not like Rav, that Yush alone is not enough, that Yush alone is not enough to be koneh? And the Gemara answers, no, to the Omer of Nachman, as Rav Nachman says, again, further down on the Omer, Prat l'shehikna l'shloishim yom, that would, the Pasuk is excluding that he doesn't pay tashlumei abal l'chmisha, the Pasuk by saying the case where he sells it, and again, comparing it to Tvicha, which is irrevocable, comes to exclude a case where he sold it to the Lekeach to do Malacha with it for the Shloshim Yom for 30 days. So therefore, it's not really a sale. It's more of a rental, and Rav Nachman is going to point that out further down on the Amud, again, in connection with the Machloikas that he has with Rav Sheshes at the bottom of the Amud. So Rav Nachman is saying that what the Torah is not telling us that Lifnei Yush, he's able to sell it, because it's not his yet. Rav Nachman is saying that if at that point he rented it to somebody for only 30 days, we sold it to him saying, you're in 30 days, I want it back, then he's not paying the Tashlumah Abav HaMisha, because that's not an irrevocable sale. So Hochanami Prapta Shehikna Shloshim Yoim. The same way in the Braisa we just quoted, we can also say the same thing, that's what the Braisa is coming to exclude. When we say Eina Chazeres, we don't mean that it's an irrevocable sale, as in because the ganav now owns it, therefore now he's able to sell it to the other person, or that we should say, as Rav Sheshes is asking, that it means he didn't own it yet, but now by selling it now, that's irrevocable, and now it permanently belongs to the other person. We just mean the Braisa is telling us that the Pasuk is telling us when you don't pay Tashlumei Abav HaMisha when it was only a temporary sale or a rental. The Rambam, by the way, has formulates the din a little differently in Hilchos Gneva. He says, he describes the case that he was makna la'achar shloshim yom, that he says, right now it's mine, but in 30 days you're going to acquire it. And the Magen Mishnah explains over there that in fact maybe the Rambam had a different dirsa in Or Gemara, but he says it doesn't really matter as a matter of halacha anyway. Rashi, who doesn't have that dirsa, Rashi who has the dirsa in front of us, would presumably agree with the Rambam, and maybe the Rambam would agree with Rashi, that the same din is regardless whether he said, I'm selling it to you only for the next 30 days, or whether he's saying, I'm selling it to you 30 days from now. Anyway, so again, that braisa is, not necessarily excluding the case where it's not necessarily saying that mechira it's not necessarily telling us that we're talking about la'acha yush when mechira is able to be effective. We are in fact talking lifnei yush, and all the braisa is saying is that even lifnei yush, if he sells it for only 30 days, then he's not paying the tashlumei abav chamisha. Okay, the Gemara says meisvi. Here I have another contradiction on Rav. A braisa says there's three possibilities as far as a ganav and the tvicho mechira. Or rather not as far as the tvicho mechira, but rather as far as when we said in the Mishnah, you have a case where Reuven steals and then Shimon goes and steals it from Reuven. We have three possible cases. Gonav, if Reuven stole, uvar achav gonvoy, and then Shimon came and stole it from Reuven, harishin meshalom tashlumei kefil, then Reuven is paying tashlumei kefil, Vasheni in a mishalim al keren belvad, and the second one Shimon is paying only keren to the first. He's paying keren to the first gam. That's case number one. So Shimon is not paying kefil because again we said when do you pay kefil? The gunav mi beis ha'ish, only if it was stolen from the person's house. But not, in other words, as to exclude when it was stolen from the ganav's house. So therefore, the second one is paying only keren. Second case, gonavu mochar, if Reuven stole the animal and then he sold it to Levi. So now Levi was kona with Yush and Shinu Rishus, and now vo'acha v'gonvoy, and Shimon now went and stole it from Levi. So now, Harishin Meshalim Tashlum Abav Hamisha, the first one who did the stealing and the selling is going to pay Tashlum Abav Hamisha. Vasheni Meshalim Tashlum Kefil, and the second one, Levi, is going to pay Tashlum Kefil to Levi because he stole from him something that belongs to him. He didn't sell it to somebody else, so there's no, he didn't even shaft it. So there's no Tashlum Abav Hamisha, but Levi is paying Shimon the Tashlum Kefil. So that would be the second case. The third case, Gonav the Tovach. The third case, Reuven stole an animal and shechted it. Uva'ach of a gonvoy, and then somebody went and stole the shechted animal from him. Harishin Meshalim Tashlom Abav Hamisha. Then Reuven is paying to the original owner of the Tashlom Abav Hamisha. Vahasheni Eni Meshalim Tashlom Ekefol Ela Keren Belvad. And the second one, Shimon, is not paying Tashlom Ekefol for the carcass of the animal, he's paying only keren. So now the Gemara is going to wonder. So now the point is the Gemara is going to ask soon. So Taka, why doesn't he pay kefil? Why don't we say that the first one was koneh with shinui maisa because he made a major change in maisa to it before it was alive and now it's dead. So that's, we're going to get to all of that. So those are the three cases in the Braisa. Now, Kotoni Mia Mitziosa. So, now the second case of the Braisa is describing Gonavu Mochar. We said that if Reuven stole the animal and sold it to Levi, Ovach of Gonvay, and Shimon went and stole it from Levi, Harish and Mishalm Tashlom Abav Hamisha, Vasheni Mishalm Tashlom Ekefil. So we said Reuven pays Tashlom Abav Hamisha to the original owner, Levi pays Tashlom Ekefil to Shimon. Now, we have to figure out, again, Amas. Now, again, this is all within trying to figure out whether Yush by itself is Kona, like Rab had said. So, Amas, when are we talking about that Reuven sold the animal to Levi? Elay Malif Yush, are you talking about that he sold it before the original owner ever had Yush? Well, Sheni Amay Meshalim Tashlom Ekefil. Then why is Shimon the Ganav paying Levi the buyer? Levi never validly bought it in the first place. Shinu Rishus below Yirush Mi Ikalam Ander Omer Dekani. When you only have Shinu Rishus, the transfer of ownership from Reuven to Levi without any Yirush on the part of the original owner, does anybody hold that he's Kona? Of course not. So how could Levi have acquired it to the extent where Shimon is paying the Tashlum Ekefil? Now, Rashi points out the Gemara could answer that you're talking about the owner could have Yush after the sale. So there wasn't Yush while it was still in Reuven's, while Reuven still had it in his hands, and there's Yush only after he sells it to Levi. The Gemara is in fact going to give that answer later on, but right now the Gemara doesn't know of that answer yet. Evidently then, so far, we would have to be saying that we're talking about that he sold it only after Yush. So the sequence of events was, Reuven stole the animal, the original owner had Yush, that he's ever gonna get it back. Now we're halfway there to Reuven owning it. Now Reuven goes and sells it to Levi. Now the Sakadaitach, Yush Koine, if you're going to tell me, like Rab, that Yush alone acquires the animal for Reuven, so it's not just that the Yush was on the way to making it his, now it becomes fully his, according to Rab. So you're back to the question, am I Meshalim Tashlama Abav Hamisha? Why in that case is Reuven paying Tashlama Abav Hamisha? Didehu Dezabin, after all, what he sold was his own animal. Because if you're telling me, Rab, that Yush alone is enough to be koneh for him, well, at that point, it's his. So in that case, there can't be any penalty for him selling it. So that's one question. and the true. Furthermore, we have another question looking at this Braisa, the Katani Reisha. Look back at the Reisha of the Braisa, and you have another issue as well. The Braisa says Gonav, Uva Achav Gonav, right? The first case said, simple, that where Reuven stole the animal, and Shimon went and stole the animal from Reuven. Rishin Mishalom Dashlomah Kefal Vasheni and Mishalom El Keren. So we said the first one pays Kefal, the second one pays only Keren. Well, Mehdi, let's consider. La'acha Yush Kaiminim. You're telling me so far it has to be La'acha Yush. Because again, if it was before Yush, then the second case of the Braisa wouldn't work out, because why is he paying Shlomah Abav Hamisha if it's because then the case involving him selling it wouldn't work, because then there's no way that he could sell it if it's not his yet. So that's what forced us to say that the Braisa is talking about where the owner had Yush. And once we say that, the Braisa is telling us three different possibilities, and it has to be all of them are in the same scenario, La'acha Yush. So if you're going to tell me that once we've established that the Braisa is talking La'acha Yush, the Sakdaidach Yush Kona, if you're going to tell me that Yush by itself is enough to be Kona, as Rav says, Amai Enim Shalom El Keren, well then why is Shimon paying only Keren to Reuven? It was his. So evidently, from this whole Braisa, from both the first and second cases of the Braisa, it comes out that Yush by itself is not enough to be Koine, Vikasha L'Rav. So therefore, this Braisa is a question on Rav. So evidently, the Braisa has to be saying that Yush by itself is not enough to be Koine. Therefore, when in the first case where Reuven stole it, even though there was Yush, so it's not considered to be his yet. So therefore now we can talk about why it is in that first case why Shimon would have to be paying him Keren in the first place. So you could say different achronim talk about it's not really a matter of neva per se. It's more dina de gami, because he caused him a direct hefsid, or Rabbi Hanan Wasserman says you could be mechayev him on the grounds of ganav, because after all it was in his reshus that he has a certain limited ownership of it. But in any case, the point is that definitely in order to say that he's chayev tashlumah abal v'chamisha, it has to be that Reuven, the original ganav, doesn't own it yet. Otherwise, he wouldn't be chayev for shechting or selling it. And the fact that he does implies that he doesn't fully own it yet. Assuming that the Braisa is talking La'achal Yush, which we have to on the face of it in order to make the case with Shimon stealing from Levi work, then it means that this Braisa contradicts Rav. Omar Rava, however, Rava answers the Tisbara. How do you think that the Braisa is a contradiction to Rav? Do you really think that this Braisa is correct? There's something wrong with the Braisa, says Rava. Ella de Katani Sefer, because look at the third case in the Braisa. Gonav v'tovach, we said that if Reuven stole the animal and shechted it, or va'ach of a gonroy, and somebody else went and stunned, and Shimon went and stole the carcass of the animal from him, Rishin Mashalom Tashlom Abav Hamisha, Rishini and Mashalom Al Kered, we're saying that the first one, Reuven pays the Tashlom Abav Hamisha to the original owner, and Shimon pays Reuven the Kered. Why should he pay only Keren? Is there anybody who holds that Shinui Maisa is not Koina? He or there was Shinui Maisa. So now it belongs to him. Now this shechted animal belongs to him. If Shimon steals it from him, then yes, Shimon should have to pay him Kefal. So obviously, Rava says there must be something wrong with this Braisa. Ela la'olam kula lifne yush. Actually, what you can explain is the Braisa is talking about before Yush, and therefore it has nothing to do with Rav's din, which has to do with La'acha Yush, the epoch sefer l'metziyasa or metziyasa l'sefer. What you're going to do is you're going to flip around what the Braisa says, the results, the psak halacha that you have between the two cases, between the second and the third case. Like this, we have the Braisa had said that in the second case, where he sold it to somebody else, then he said that Reuven pays Tashlumah above Hamisha and the second one pays tashlumei kefil. And in the third case we had, the first one pays, tashlumei abav chamisha, and the second one pays only kered. So Rava says you have to flip those around. So we read the emahachi, so learn the braisa like this. Gonav, if the second case would be, let's go through all three cases. The first case is gonav or gonavu mochar. Oh no, the second case would be gonavu mochar if Reuven stole the animal and sold it, or va'achav gonvoy, and Levi now went and stole it from and Shimon now went and stole it from Levi the buyer. So now what we're going to say is because it was before Yirush, then Levi hasn't really acquired it. So therefore, Harishin Mashalam Tashlima Abav Hamisha, so Reuven is going to be paying Tashlima Abav Hamisha because he stole an animal and he sold it. V'hasheni Enim Mashalam El Keren, the second one, Shimon, is paying only Keren, but he's not paying that Keren to the buyer, to Levi. Rather, he's paying it to Reuven. Because even though it changed ownership, even though Reuven transferred it to Levi, but there was no Yush, because now Rava is saying, the Braisa is talking about before Yush, so therefore Loikoni, so it's not Koina, so it comes out therefore that the animal still belongs to Reuven, and therefore when Shimon goes and steals it, he's stealing it from Reuven, and it's Reuven that he's going to pay the keren. As far as Levi, later on, Reuven is going to have to reimburse Levi for the fact that he sold him something that doesn't belong to him, but that would be something outside of the dinim of kefil and everything. That would be a separate matter. Then continues Rava. The third case of the braisa would be gonav v'tovach, if he stole the animal and shechted it, or va'acher v'gonvoy, and somebody else went and stole the dead body of the animal from him. And again, this is all before Yush. Meshalom tashlumei kefil. So now, Harishin meshalom tashlumei abav chamisha. The first one, Reuven, is going to pay tashlumei abav chamisha because he stole and shechted. Vasheni meshalom tashlumei kefil. The second one is in fact going to pay tashlumei kefil. Dekanya b'shinui ma'aseh, because Reuven acquired it with the shinui ma'aseh of shechting the animal. So that answers very neatly all the questions on Rav. We asked on Rav that if the Braisa is talking about after Yush, then why is there Tashlumei Kefil in the second case? He wasn't koine it. We asked in the second case, according to Rav, if it's l'achar Yush, why is the first one paying tashlumei abav chamisha? It's his own animal that he sells. And then we also asked on Rav from the Reisha that if it's l'achar Yush, why is the second ganav paying only keren? Well, now these answers all neatly answer that. We're talking lifnei Yush. And as far as the question from the middle case of the Braisa, in fact, we're saying that the answer would be that in that case, the second ganav, because before Yush, is in fact paying only keren. Okay. So that's Rav's answer. That's Rava's answer for the Braisa according to Rav. On the other hand, Rav Papa says there's no need to flip around the cases in the Braisa. Now, fine. We will say the Braisa is talking about, after Yush. We are going to say then that you're wondering, one of your questions was, why by Gonav V'Tovach, why is the other one paying only Keren? Wasn't he Koneh with Shinui? And Shinui wouldn't even require Yush in order for him to be Koneh. The answer is safer. The answer is the safer of this Braisa. The third case is according to Beshamai, Dami Shinui V'Mekoyma Oymed. We learned the other day that Beshamai holds, just because there's a Shinui to the thing, it doesn't change its status. We learned in connection with the din of Esnan that we said that the Shammai had said, a man gives a zoina, for example, wheat, and she grinds into flour, that flour remains also to bring as a korban, unlike this Hillel that says that once it's changed, then its status in halacha changes. So fine, so Beshamai holds that a change in the object itself does not create a change of status, so they would be the ones who say, according to them now, even though Reuven shechted the animal, which now is a shinui, and on the face of it he should be koina, but Bishamai holds he's not koina, and therefore the second ganav is not going to pay him tefil, only keren. Well, the Gemara says, Yehochi, if you're going to say like that, and you're going to say that the Braisa is talking about La'achal Yush, Kasha Reisho Metzias of Rav, you still have a problem. The first and second cases of the Braisa are still a problem for Rav, because you still have the questions that we had before from the first and second cases of the Braisa, how they work out according to Rav, if it's La'achal Yush, and according to Rav, Yush by itself is Koine. Tosfos actually has a girsa, just not kasher reisho metziasa, but just kasher metziasa. That the middle case of the braisa would still be a question on Rav. So there was a question from the reisha, but it's not really the main question. In fact, there's a different girsa. The Shittim Kovetzis brings a girsa over here from the Raivad, and it's found in other places as well, that the question is not even on Rav. The question is, if Rav Papa is saying that we're talking Lifnei Yush, then we have the question from the middle case, if it's before Yush, then why is the second Ganav paying Tashlumei Kefil to the first Ganav? So according to that way of looking at it, at this point, we're not asking on Rav, we're asking more on Rav Papa how he could understand the Braisa or the way he's understanding. So Rav Zvid answers, La'olam kulay lifnei Yush. In fact, we are talking about that the whole Braisa is talking about before Yush. So therefore, it's nothing to do with Rav's din, because Rav is talking about only after Yush. The reason why in the middle case, in the second case of the Braisa, where we said, why is the second Ganav paying kefil to Levi, the buyer, because v'hocha mayaskinen shenis yashu abaylim v'lekeach v'loinis yashu began. Because what we mean is, like Rashi had mentioned before, the Gemara could have answered this all along, and now Rav Zvid in fact comes up with this answer. We're talking about the owner had Yush only when it came to the Rishus of Levi, but they hadn't had Yush before when it had been in Reuven's possession. To have a Yush v'shinu Rishus. Now at this point, you have Yush, plus you have shinu Rishus, and therefore, so that's enough for Levi to acquire it. And therefore, now Levi acquires it, and now if Shimon steals it from him, then he's paying Tashlumei Kefil like any other case. Now Hagoras HaGro actually takes out this whole phrase, the Havala Yush V'Shinu Rishus. Other Mephoshim take out the Maseres HaShas, brings over here from a Mephoresh, the Hagarnash, he says, which I haven't looked up who that was, who takes out just the words V'Shinu Rishus, which is why it's in parenthesis. Anyway, the point is, at the very least, Reb Zvid is saying you do have Yush in this case, because the owner eventually had Yush. So therefore the Braisa can support Rav that Yush is enough to create this change. The Lloyd Tamer Shum Divin and Yush Vashinu Rishus. Now don't think, in fact, Rav Zvid continues, that you shouldn't necessarily need Yush and Shinu Rishus in order to be Koina. Ela Afilu V'Yush L'Chudin Nami Koni. Gabi Ganav, really even Yush by alone would have been enough for the Ganav to acquire it. So the Braisa didn't even have to specifically mention the case where he sold it to somebody else in order to talk about what the din would be. The only reason Rav Zvid says that the Braisa presents the case in this way is because you want to have, the Braisa wants to be able to present a case where both Reuven and Shimon, the original Ganav, and the Ganav who stole from him, both have to pay. And the only way to accomplish that is to have the third party involved, to have that Levi is involved. So in fact, though, Rav Zvid says, just Yush by itself, according to Rav, would in fact be enough to be koinet. Conceivably, if Reuven had not sold the animal to somebody else, and Shimon went and stole it from him, we could indeed talk about Shimon paying kafel to Reuven, because Reuven himself is the owner of the animal now, having acquired it with Yush, according to Rav. But the Braisa didn't want to present the case that way, because it wanted to find a case where both of them are paying, where one of them is paying Tashlumah Abba Chamisha and the other one is paying Kefal. And the only way to do that is to have another party involved. Now you do also have the case. You do also have the case in the Braisa when Reuven shechted it. But again, we said before the Papa had said that part of the Braisa goes according to Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai would hold that's not enough to be Kona, which is why we don't answer like that. But therefore, the point is, in other words, what Rav Zvid is saying is that we're talking about, that in the case where Reuven sold it, we're talking about there wasn't Yirush originally. There was Yirush only after Levi bought it. And now at that point, we can say that Levi acquires it to the extent that now if Reuven steals it from him, there's Tashlumei Kefal. Well, then the same thing. So now we understand that all the cases in the Braisa are talking about there hadn't been Yirush yet when it was by the Ganav. And that's why in the first case of the Braisa, the second Ganav is not paying Kefal to him because he doesn't own it yet. But the point is that it comes out that this whole Braisa has nothing directly to do with Rav's din, because Rav is talking about La'achar Yush, and the Braisa is talking about what happens before Yush. So now the Gemara says, here's a related point. Itmar Hamosha Lifnei Yush. So now let's talk about that point. If the Ganav sells the animal before Yush, Rav Nachman Amachayev, Rav Sheshes Amapatu. So Rav Nachman says he's going to be chayev to pay the tashlumei above Hamisha, and Rav Sheshes says he's going to be potter. Rav Nachman Amachayev Mechorei Amarachmana, because the pasuk says that he sold it. The pasuk says that he sold it, and v'hozabin, so he did sell it. Loishna lifnei Yush, loishna l'achar Yush. Doesn't matter whether it was before Yush or after. It is true that if he did it before Yush, it's not considered a valid sale. And once we find out what the situation is, we're going to make him reimburse. The buyer Levi for the money that he paid for it. Nevertheless, Rav Nachman says he tried to sell it. That's reason enough to be mechayev him. Rav Sheshes, I'm a potter. Whereas Rav Sheshes says he's potter. Because only when he sells it in a way where it's actually effective, where we actually have a valid sale, which would be only la'achar yush, only then would we say that it's considered a sale, and now he's chayev with the shlama above hamisha. Aval lifnei yush lo yahanu ma'isav. But if it was before yush, and what he did is not effective anyway, then Rav Sheshes says you can't be mechayev him, because he says dumya de tzvicha ba'inim. We require, in order for him to be chayev for the mechira, it has to be similar to the tzvicha, because after all, we said before, the Torah puts them together, utvachoy and mechoroy, and at the top of the Amud, we said there's a comparison between them. At the top of the Amud, we said the comparison is that tzvicha is something irreversible, and therefore the mechira has to be something irreversible. So here, now we're using it, so here, Rav Sheshes is saying in a similar way. The same way as tzvicha is something where what he did had an effect, and it takes it out of the rishus of the original owner and puts it in his rishus, the same way the mechira has to be something like that. Therefore, if he sold it before Yush, when he doesn't own it yet, then it wouldn't be considered a valid sale, and therefore he can't be chayev for that above chamisha for that. So that's what he says. Dumi tzvicha beinim da'ahanu ma'isav. By tzvicha, when he does the tzvicha, then it definitely accomplishes that now we have an irrevocable change to the animal, and we could say that maybe he's koyne b'shinu. So the same way over here. So the mechira has to be something which actually makes a change in the status of it and makes it that the original owner is not going to be getting it back. So Rashi points out at this point that we actually have then a three-way machloekas over here. Rav is holding that Yush by itself is enough to be koyin. So before Yush, the so uh, So it has to be, according to Rav, in order for the Ganav to be chayev for selling the animal, it has to be that he sold it lifnei Yirsh. Because after Yirsh, we would say, Shaloi hu moicho, it's already his animal that he's selling. Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman disagree with that underlying assumption. They say, no, Yirsh by itself is not enough to be koneh. So now the machloekas is that Rav Nachman is saying, I don't care whether ahanu maisav, I don't care whether what he did is an effective sale, whether it's a legally valid sale in halacha, one way or the other, he's going to be chayav the tashlumei abal b'chamisha, whether it was in fact a legally binding sale or not. Whereas Rav Sheshes is going to say that it has to be a legally binding sale, and therefore they'd be saying that he can be chayav only after Yirsh. So it's a three-way machlokas, says Rashi. Okay. Omer of Sheshes, Menon Minola. So Rav Sheshes says, where am I getting this that I'm saying that there has to be a similarity between Tvicha and Mechira, and that therefore we should learn this din from it? The Braisa that we brought before. The Tanya, Omer of Akiva. Name Ma Omer Turnam Mashalam, Mashalam Dalab Behe. Why does the Torah tell us that a Tova Chomacher pays four or five times as much? So we said before, because he was rooted in the Abbe. Now again, says Rav Sheshes, Amas, when are we talking about? Ilema lifnei Yirsh, if you're talking about before Yirsh, mi ikan nishtarish, what rooting is there? His mechira is invalid, because again, Rav Sheshes is disagreeing with Rav's premise that Yirsh alone is enough to be kona. According to him, the Ganav doesn't own this thing yet. So how can we call it nishtarish, which on the face of it implies a hanu maisav, that what he did, that the sale that he did is a legally valid sale. It's not, because he doesn't own it yet. So elalav la'achar yush. Evidently, we have to elalav la'achar yushu. Evidently, we have to be talking about that it's after yush. So therefore that even after yush. So after yush, it has to be that nishtarish bechet. It has to be that it has to be that only after yush, if he sells it, are we making him pay the tashlama abav chamisha? But if he had sold it before Yirsh, then we can't call it nishtarish, because then he hasn't actually accomplished anything with his sale, because it's not a valid sale anymore. Tosfos, by the way, draws a distinction over here, and now Tosfos is really talking primarily about something on Omer Beis as far as what we're going to say about Rav Elazar, but to a certain extent it applies to you also, and it is printed on this side of the Amud that there can be a difference actually between Ahanu Maisa, where he actually shechts the animal, where he actually removes it from the world, versus a shinui that happens by itself. We could be talking about a shinui that happens by itself, that he wouldn't be koina, for example. The animal dies, versus a shinui that he does himself, for example, shechting. Another possibility is that a hanu maisav has slightly different meanings. When it comes to shechting, it means that he actually makes it. That now, this is a shechted animal. Now, it has a physically different status. As opposed to mechira, you're only changing its legal status, trying to change its legal status. So then we can talk about that mechira is really only relevant, says Rav Sheshes, only if he's actually able to sell. Anyway, so Rav Sheshes says that's where I'm getting it from. But Omar Rava, so Rava says not necessarily, because you can say Mepnesha Shtarish Bechet is Mepnesha Shona Bechet. The Torah is penalizing him because he's compounding his Aveda by trying to sell the animal, even though it's not his to sell. So therefore, like we said that at the top of the Amud, therefore this Braisa is not necessarily a proof for Rav Sheshes' din, because Nishtarish Bechet doesn't mean that he actually did something that had a legal validity, but rather that he tried to compound his Aveda. Okay, so Toshma, let's try to bring another raya. The pasuk says utvachoy macharoy. Again, the pasuk says that he shechts it or he steals it, and that means we have the comparison, like we said at the top of the Yomud. Ma tvicha sheina chazeres, af mechira sheina chazeres. Just like tvicha is an unchangeable and irrevocable thing, the same way mechira has to be something that's irrevocable. Again, Amos, what are we talking about? Ilema lifnei Yirsh. If you're talking about that he sold it before Yirsh, Amaya in a Chazeres. Why wouldn't it go back to the original owner? It wasn't a valid sale. El la'acha Yirsh. Evidently, we have to be talking about la'acha Yirsh. Ushmami na chiyuv la'acha Yirsh. Evidently, then, the chiyuv is only la'acha Yirsh. So how can Rav Nachman say that it's even before Yirsh? And the answer is, like we have at the top of the Amud, to Gemara Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman explained that the Braisa doesn't mean that the sale was valid versus it wasn't valid. Rather, the Braisa is drawing a distinction. Prat l'shehiknalo the shloshim yom. It means the Braisa is coming to tell us, as opposed to when he was machne to him for 30 days, where it's not an irrevocable sale, and then the Braisa is saying that he's not paying the shloma abal hamisha for that kind of sale, which is not really a sale but rather a rental. So nothing to do with whether his sale is valid or not. The Braisa is not drawing a distinction whether the sale actually takes effect versus it doesn't. Rather, the Braisa is drawing a distinction between a permanent sale versus a temporary sale. You could still say, as long as he's doing it as a permanent sale, even if he did it at a time when he can't really do such a valid sale because it doesn't belong to him yet, nevertheless, Rav Nachman can still say he's chayav for doing that. Okay. The Gemara continues, V'after Rav Elazar Sava Chiyuv La'achar Yishu. You should know, Rav Elazar also holds, like Rav Sheshes, that the Chiyuv is only La'achar Yish, because before Yish it doesn't belong to him yet, and he doesn't have the ability to sell it. The Amar Rav Elazar, because Rav Elazar says, Teda, you can prove the following din. Teda Shastam Gneva Yish Bailamu. You can demonstrate, says Rav Elazar, that ordinarily, that by default, Gneva involves Yush Bailam. And must we know for a fact the owner was not Miyash, by default, we assume that the one that was in Gneva, then right away we're Miyash. We had that concept briefly the other day. We had a case. We said that when a ganav steals a bed, for example, we said that we had the Tanakama versus Reb Shimon. We had a machlokas. At what point is the ganav able to make this bed or to make this wool that he turned into a bed or whatever? We had a case involving skins where he stole skins from somebody, so we said a ganav, his machshava alone is enough to make it makabel truma, because we assume with a ganav the owner was miyayish, because he doesn't know who the ganav is. So now Rabbi Elazar says, here is a proof from the pasuk. After all, the Torah says that if the person shechted or sold it, and he's paying tashlum abal chamisha, now you have to ask, why across the board should he be paying? The dumalo yash. What if the owner didn't have yush yet, and therefore his sale was invalid? Evidently, says Rav Elazar, you have to say because stam gneva, they're going to be miyash right away. So therefore, by default, the Torah can assume as soon as he stole it, the owner was miyash, and therefore that right away it'll be considered his to the extent that if he sells it, now the yush v'shinu v'shus will take effect. It will belong to the other guy. It's called a hanu maisa. What he did had a legal effect, and therefore now we can be mechayev tashlumi abal b'chamisha for that. So we see that Rabbi Elazar necessarily holds like Rav Sheshes, because if he held like Rav Nachman, then he would say that even if it wasn't a legally valid sale, he'd be chayev. But the Gemara asks, the Duma Achal Gabdolo Yayash, why? Maybe, how does Rabbi Elazar learn from that? Maybe the Torah is telling us, even without Yoshi's Chayev, just the fact that he's trying to sell. Where in fact is Rabbi Elazar getting the point that the Torah is assuming there's Yush? Maybe, in fact, the Torah is not assuming there's Yush, and we should say, like Rav Nachman, that doesn't matter whether there was Yush or not. Either way, he tried to sell it, and for that reason alone, the Torah is penalizing him. And the answer is, Ami, they answer back, Lo Sakadaitim. You can't think that way, because, like we said, Dumya de Tzvicha, because we said that selling has to be similar to the Shechting. Ma Tzvicha da Hanu Maisev, when it comes to Tzvicha, definitely what he did had an effect. And again, we can talk about, as Tosfos said before, what do we mean by had an effect? Do we mean that it has a legal effect that now it makes a kinyan? Or do we mean that it has a practical effect that now it's a dead animal, where before it was an alive one? Anyway, after mechira, da'ahanu ma'isav, therefore, Sir Rav Elazar understands that the mechira also has to be something where it actually had an effect and removed it from the reshus of the owner. Now, the lifnei yush, ma'ayahanu, if he does it before Yush, there's no Ahanu Maisa, because then before Yush, he has no ability to sell it. So therefore, obviously, therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, obviously, therefore, since the Torah is comparing mechira to tvicha, then of necessity there has to be that we're talking about that it's la'acha yush. And how can we assume it's la'acha yush when we don't know by default whether there was yush? The answer is we have to say that there must be yush right away. The Torah must assume that there was yush right away. But the Gemara says, "V'durma d'sham ina de'iyayish." Why? Maybe the Torah is saying the ganav is chayev only for selling it only when we actually heard the owner be miyayish, only when we heard him say that I give up on it. Maybe stam gneva is not like that. Amri, so they answer that. Lo safadadach. You can't think that way. Dumya de tvicha, because again, the mechira has to be similar to the tvicha. Ma tvicha la'alter af mechira la'alter. Just like the tvicha is something that we'd be chayev even if he shechted it right on the spot. As the moment he stole it, before there was even yush, before the owner even knew that it was stolen from him, let's say, the guy shecht it, and right away he's chayev. So the same thing. Ach mechira la'alter, the same way, the selling also has to be something that he could do, on the spot. Now, Tosfos points out, to be exact, I mean, the tvicha, you're usually going to have, the ganav is first going to bring the animal to his reshus. Meanwhile, there's a likelihood that the owner found out, but we don't necessarily know whether the owner found out yet. And the halacha, after all, you have in Eivel Metzias, you have the famous machlokas about yush shalem midas, and the halacha is yush shalem midas is not yush, unless we know that the owner was miyash, then it's not considered yush. So therefore, so what we have over here is the ganav stole it. He takes it to his house. By the time he gets it there and gets ready to shecht it, the owner has probably found out, but we don't know yet whether the owner had yush. Nevertheless, we can still be machayev the ganev for shechting it. The same way, it has to be with the sale as well. It has to be something that he would be able to sell right away before we even heard that the owner was miyash. So how could that be? How would we be machayev him if it wasn't a legally valid sale? Must be that we assume the owner was miyash right away. So that bears out that's how Rabbi Elazar learns his point. Okay. Now, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. So now Rabbi Elazar had said that. But Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Elazar, Gneva benefesh techiach. You want to tell me that the only way a person can be chayev for mechira is only if he's legally able to sell the thing. But Rabbi Yochanan says, prove to the contrary from the case of a person kidnaps, where the Torah is machayev a person misa if he kidnapped somebody and sold him. She'ein yush b'ilim. There's no yush over there because a person is not miyayish from himself. And nevertheless machayev, and yet he's chayev misa. So it's not legally binding. You're not able to legally make a yid. You're not able to legally make a yid an eved and make him that the other person legally owns him. And yet the Torah is machayev misa for a person who tries to do that. So therefore, by the same token over here, when it comes to selling the animal that he stole, then we shouldn't wait until it's an actually legally binding sale and say that there necessarily has to have been yush. We should say that he should be chayiv even if there was no yush. Now, Tosfos points out that when it comes to gneva benefesh, when it comes to kidnapping, it never mentions a tvachai. The whole reason why Rabbi Elazar is learning that there's a similarity between the selling and the shechting is because there's a hekesh between them and the pasuk. Well, by kidnapping, there's no such hekesh. So can't Rabbi Elazar answer? There's a big difference between them. And the answer is, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, you're telling me that you want to learn the mechira from tvicha, which is next to it, where there's a hekesh. Adrabba, learn by gzera shava from the mechira, and learn that just like by mechira of a kidnapped victim, it doesn't matter that he doesn't legally own him. Nevertheless, he's still chayav misa for trying to sell him. The same way it should be over here. So the Gemara says we can deduce from that the sover of Yechanan lifnei yush chayev. So obviously Rabbi Yechanan holds that if he sold it before yush, he's chayev. La'acha yush mai, the question would be, what does Rabbi Yechanan hold if he sells it after yush? Does he hold before we said that Rav had held that yush alone is enough to be koyne? So does Rabbi Yechanan agree with that? And therefore, we would say after yush, you can't be mechayev him because at that point, shaloi hu moicher, it's his own animal that he's selling. So what does he hold on that? So in fact, there's machlokes. Rabbi Yechanan, I'm a chayev, but a shlokish, I'm a potu. So Rabbi Yochanan says he would be chayev either way, so that makes him exactly like Rabbi Nachman on Amar Aleph, and Rish Lakish would say he's potter, which makes Rish Lakish more like Rav. Rav Yechanan Om Chayev Chiyuv Ben Lefnei Yush Ben Lachan Yush. Rav Yechanan is going to say that he's Chayev whether before or after Yush. He disagrees with Rav and says that Yush alone is not enough to be Koine. So before Yush he's Chayev because he tried to do it. La'acha Yush, we don't say that Yush is Koine and therefore that we should say Shalohu Moser. So basically Rav Yechanan would hold, so Rav Yechanan is disagreeing with Rav, and basically he holds like Rav Nachman on Amar Aleph, although Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz brings from based on different Gemara that Rabbeinu Tam wants to say that actually he would say Rav Yechanan would say that Yush is Kona, and nevertheless he's still Machayev, so that would be a fourth opinion. Anyway, Resh Lakish Amar Potter, because Resh Lakish says you can only be Machayev, and before Yush, when he wasn't Kona, but if after Yush, he holds like Rav, that Rav is Koina, therefore what he's selling, or what he's shechting, or what he's selling, belongs to him, and he can't be Chayiv Tashlomi Abav Chamisha, or Tashlomi Kefal for it anymore, or he can't be Chayiv Tashlomi Abav Chamisha for it anymore. Tosfos points out, by the way, before we had Rabba saying that Yush is Kona, and usually the halacha is like Rabba when in things that he says, so therefore the halacha ought to be that Yush is Kona, as we said over there. On the other hand, here we have Rabbi Yechanan saying Yush is not Kona. Here Rabbi Yechanan is saying Yush is not Kona, and the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yechanan over Resh Lakish. But Tosfos says, listen, I mean, you have so many Amroim who are arguing on all of these points that not necessarily are we going to say the usual rules of who the halacha is like. The halacha in the end is actually that Yush is not Kona by itself, but Yush plus Shinu Rishus is, or Shinu Maisa. Anyway, So Rabbi Yechanan says to Resh Lakish, how can you say that he's koina with Yush, and therefore Shaloyu Taveh, for Shaloyu Mocher, a brisa says, Gonav Behikdish, if a person stole an animal and was makdish it, Vachakach Tovach, and later on he shechted it, Meshalom Tashlome Kefal, then he pays Tashlome Kefal to the original owner, Ve'ena Meshalom Tashlome Abav Chamisha, he does not pay Tashlome Abav Chamisha, because by the time he shechted it, it's something that belonged to Hekdish. And Rashi points out, the whole concept of paying Tashlome Kefal and Tashlome Abav Chamisha does not apply to Hekdish. Furthermore, you're not going to say that he should be Chayev for the Tvicho Mechira if you can't be Mechayev him to Hekdish for the Kefal, which you can't, because Hekdish doesn't collect Kefal, then you can't be Mechayev him for the Abav Chamisha either, Rashi points out, because you can only be chayev tashlumei abav chamisha only when it's on top of kefal. If it's not on top of it, then in effect you don't have four or five fold, you have two or three fold, and that's not what the Torah is saying. So therefore Rashi says that's what the Gemara means, that's what the Braisa means, therefore that in that case he's paying tashlumei kefal to the owner, but he's not paying tashlumei abav chamisha to anybody. Actually, the Pnei Yeshua points out he didn't actually steal it from Hekdish in the first place. He stole it from the original owner. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that Rashi basically is saying that, listen, the whole concept of Tashlum Abav Chamisha never applies to Hekdish because Kefal doesn't apply, and therefore Abav Chamisha doesn't apply. So therefore, in this case, where by the time he did the Tvicho Mechira, it didn't belong to a Hedyot, it already belonged to Hekdish, then therefore we're saying there's no Tashlum Abav Chamisha. Not to the Hedyot because he didn't shech, because by the time he shechted it, it didn't belong to the Hedyot anymore, it belonged to Hekdish, and not to Hekdish because by Hekdish, you don't even pay Kefal, and since you don't pay Kefal, you don't pay Abav Chamisha. Anyway. So, Rabbi Yochanan says, Emas. So again, we have to be talking about, when exactly are we talking about that he was makdish? Ilema lifnei yush, are you talking about that it was before the owner ever had yush? Mi kodesh, would the animal even be kodesh in that case? Doesn't the pasuk say, ish ki yakdish as they say kodesh omer achmana? The pasuk says when a person is makdish his house, and we learn from that, ma beise shalayak kol shalay, just like a person's house belongs to him, so anything else that he wants to be makdish has to belong to him. Here, it's before yush, it certainly doesn't belong to the ganav. He has no ability to be makdish. Obviously, it has to be talking about La'acha Yush. So now you have Yush, plus you have Shinu Rishus, because he transferred it to the Rishus of Hekdish. So time of the Hekdish, so Rav Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, so for time of the Hekdish, why are we saying that he's Chayev? Is that why are we saying, or rather we're saying, why is he potter from Tashlom HaBal Chamisha? Only because he was Makdish in between. The Ki Katovach, the Hekdish Katovach, and therefore we have the special tour when it comes to Hekdish that you don't pay Tashlom HaBal Chamisha. Avaloy Hekdish, but apparently the Braise is implying that if he hadn't been Makdish it, Tovach Omach, Tovach, Mishal and Tashlom HaBal Chamisha, then if he shechted it, he would be paying Tashlom HaBal Chamisha. The Isakadajach Yush Koine now, says Rabbi Yechanan to Rish Lakish, if you're going to tell me that Yush by itself is enough to be Koine, Amai Meshalem, then why is the Ganav paying Tashlom HaBav Chamisha, Shaloyu Teveyach, Shaloyu Moicher, isn't he selling, isn't he shechting or selling something that belongs to him? So how are you going to explain this scenario? Again, it can't be that he was Makdashit before Yush, and after Yush, according to you, he was Koinet, and there's no Tashlum above Chamisha. So according to you, what is the Braisa talking about? Omalei, so the Shlokish answers, we're talking about before Yush. Hoch Maiskin Kuvenshit Bishur Bailim Biyad Gan. What we're talking about over here is where not the Ganav declared in Hekdish. The owner declared in Hekdish while it's in the hands of the Ganav. So now the Gemara is going to point out soon that you can't be makdish something unless it's actually in your possession. But that's talking about kedushas aguf. Here, so his point points out we're talking about kedushas domim, and presumably anyway we have to be talking about over here about kedushas domim, because otherwise the fact that he shechted it, he'd be potter anyway from paying, because commonly with the rabbin, if it was kodshim, if it had kedushas aguf, and he was shechting it outside of this mikdash, he'd be chayiv koris anyway. So we have to understand that the owner gave kedushas domim biyad ganav, while it's in the hands of the ganav. So only because he was makdish it, now therefore that factors the ganav if now he goes and checks. The question is, well, mi kodesh, is it hektish in that case? Well, Amr Rav Yechanan gozol lenis yashua bailim. Didn't Rav Yechanan say that if somebody stole something and the owner did not have yush yet, shneim ein yechol makdish, neither the ganav nor the original owner are able to be makdish. The ganav can't be makdashit because it doesn't belong to him, and the owner can't be makdashit because it's not in his rishus. So you're telling me Rish Lakish that we're talking about that the owner himself was makdashit, but if you're talking kedusha that goof, he wouldn't have the ability to do that when it's not in his possession. And if we're talking about kedusha domim, then also it's not birushosai. So the answer is huda omer kitznuim. The answer is Rish Lakish holds according to the opinion of the tznuim that say that you could be makdish something that's not in your rishus, at least as far as kedushas domim. The Tnan, we learn in a Mishnah in the Sechta Maisa Sheni. Now you have the case of Kerem Revai. You have a vineyard, or according to somebody showing him the supplies, or according to some opinions in the Gemara, rather, the supplies to all different kinds of fruit trees. You have the first 3 years, they're Orla, and then the fourth year, the fruit is Revai, and it has basically the same Kedusha as Maisa Sheni. You have to take it to your Shalayim and eat it there, Batara, or you have to exchange it for money and bring the money to your Shalayim, etc. It's Machlokas in the Gemara in Brachas, whether it applies only to grapes, or whether it applies to all fruits. But anyway, what do you do? The Mishnah says, the Mishnah says, Hatsnuin, people who are chassidim, who want to be extra careful and prevent that other people might end up eating from it without being poide, manichin asamois, they put money down, they put aside money, but umim, and they say, kolam nilpet mizeh, anything that's tricked from this vineyard, yehe mechola, la mois ha'elu, will be mechola, the kedusha will be taken off and transferred to this money, and that way, the payers that the other people collected will be cholim. The Gemara is going to deal with later on, when are we talking about? Are we stand talking about that people are stealing, or are stealing his grapes, or are we talking about maybe only doing shmita when they have a right to take his grapes? Anyway, the point is, Rish Lakish is saying, so even though the grapes are not birushusai, nevertheless, he's able to be mechalal them. So the same way then, Rish Lakish says, so following that opinion, then you can also be makdish something even when it's not in your rishus. Tosfos has a long discussion about various ins and outs of that. For one thing, we don't know whether the owner had yush of that. But the fact is, it's also not very common that people are going to pick fruit without him knowing about it. But also then, how are we comparing hektish to chilul? Sure, you can be machalol something that's in somebody else's possession, but you can't be machdish something that's in somebody else's possession. And Tosfos says that here, what we're saying is, you're after all, what are you doing when you put it? When you're being machalol it, you're saying. What we're saying is, when it comes to hekdesh, once you makdesh it, it goes out of your possession and you're able to be poydeh. The same way over here, it's out of your possession, you're able to be poydeh. You are able to be mechalal somebody else's ma'aseh sheni. Tosfos goes on to discuss, but they discuss in some detail how the Gemara is assuming that chilul of being a poydeh ma'aseh sheni over here is similar to being makdesh. But in any case, that's what Rosh Lakish is saying. That's what Rosh Lakish is saying, that since we see that Snuyim are being machalal and then being poida, they're maisa sheni, even though it's not in their possession anymore, even though it may not be in their possession anymore, because other people may have taken it, the same way, person can be makdish something, at least with Kedushas Damim, even when it's not in his possession, and therefore that could be the scenario or the brisa where the owner was makdish the animal after the ganav had already stolen it, and therefore now when the ganav goes and shechts it, then it belongs to hektish, and therefore he's not paying tashlum abav hamisha. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, for continuing this discussion, how exactly this works, why we're saying in that case that the ganav is going to be potter from Tashlum Abba Chamisha. So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem.